Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. A familiar voice on Cap Radio is saying goodbye. You may know Randall White for his reports during All Things Considered, or you may remember Randall as host of Insight during a very crucial time in 2020 when we were all navigating the scary unknowns of the pandemic. Regardless of how you've come to know Randall as a listener, today we're going to let you in on a little secret. He is also a wonderful person outside of news as both a Cap Radio colleague and friend. Randall and his husband Ricardo are saying goodbye to Sacramento, but not without a heartfelt farewell from some familiar voices on Cap Radio.
My name is Nick Bruner. I have worked at Cap Radio for just going on 16 years now, and I still love working with Randall White. He's always in my heart, and he always will be, even long after he's not working here. His generosity of spirit and professionalism, coupled with just an absolute party animal that you never actually hear about on the radio, is one of the reasons that I just find him a gem of a human being. He's singular. He's not like anybody you're going to meet. And I just, I love the guy. He's an amazing friend and an extraordinary colleague.
I'm Devin Yamanaka. I loved working with Randall because he was so different from me, which sounds silly, but he always had energy. He always had good ideas. He was up for anything. He was good with improvising. He was good with having a kind of a roadmap for the afternoon. Anytime I had a weird question about like journalism or a story, he'd answer it, and I never felt silly for asking it, even though I'm pretty sure I asked some pretty weird questions. And he was always just ready to talk to anybody about anything. And having that energy in the afternoon, especially when there were times that the news wasn't easy to take. It wasn't easy to understand. It was scary. He always knew how to walk listeners through it in a way to help it make more sense and seem less scary. And that, especially the last few years, but in general, that is the kind of thing that I feel like he really does well and that I'm always going to be thankful for.
Hey, this is Steve Milne, the Morning Edition anchor and reporter here at Cap Radio. And Randall White, we're going to miss you. I mean, he's such a positive force, the newsroom, and that passion that he has for journalism is really infectious, and he's been really encouraging to the younger journalists. A great interviewer and a really compelling storyteller. You know, he really made his mark. So, Randall, we're going to miss you, and we wish you the best with your new adventures.
My name is Srishti Prabha, and I'm just one of many at Cap Radio that feel a sense of loss of having to see Randall leave. Randall has to be one of the best people I've met in my life. His thoughtful reporting and attention to detail made me a more reflective journalist. It's not easy to keep up with a generation of new language and progressive ideologies, but not only does he keep up, he remains curious, educating those around him in the process. Randall, you have empowered me in the journalism space that at times feels like it wasn't built for me, and for that, I will be forever grateful.
Those are Cap Radio colleagues Nick Bruner, Devin Yamanaka, Steve Milne, and Srishti Prabha sharing just a few of the many reasons we will love and miss Randall White. Now we're going to close with Randall himself. Randall, this is so bittersweet, but also more sweet than bitter, but it's just hard to say goodbye to you.
Yeah, well, the thing is anytime you've been at a place for any length of time and have really enjoyed it, it's that step into the next era that can be a little bit frightening, also sad because you're leaving the past behind. But in this case, for me anyway, I'm very excited about the future. But I will miss all of my colleagues here at Cap Radio.
And it's not just a goodbye to Cap Radio, but in many respects, broadcast and journalism, which you have dedicated almost 30 years to.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the beginning. Why journalism?
Well, you know, I used to manage microbreweries is what they called them back then. Now they're craft breweries. And I was working in Larkspur in managing the Marin Brewing Company. And if you know Larkspur, where this brewery was is on the other side of a commuter ferry to San Francisco. And so these people in the afternoon would be coming in from the financial district and they'd sit at the bar and I would bartend And I would think, oh, their level of conversation, I just don't understand what they're talking about, and I need to get up to speed. So I started listening to this one talk radio station, KGO, and I started to understand, like, you know, the current topics of the day. And that made me a better bartender. But what I also did is I got hooked on it. And I was like telling my friends all the time, did you hear about XYZ? And they would say, wow, Randall, you're super into that. And so at one point I was out to dinner with a friend. We were in Sausalito, beautiful San Francisco skyline behind us. And she said to me, why don't you switch careers, go back to school and get your journalism degree? And I did. 3 months later, I was at Humboldt State. A year and a half after that, I was in my first anchoring job up in Medford, Oregon.
Yeah. With our jobs, often we move around a bunch. You know, both of us are California natives. I went to the border in Texas. You moved up to Oregon. You also traveled to the Midwest. You came back to California. And I think you went back to the Midwest and then came back to California. How's that journey for you? It's kind of like a yo-yo in a sense.
It really is. You know, Vicky, I know you understand this. We both started in television. And you do this thing where you market climb, it's called. You know, you go from a really small market and then you keep moving up because, well, the pay is better the farther up you get and the production value is better. And typically you start working around more seasoned journalists and it's just beneficial to continue moving up. So that's what I was doing. And I thought I had found my home at this NBC affiliate in Madison, Wisconsin. I just absolutely loved it. And we had the number one morning show. You have to negotiate contracts in television.
And every couple years.
Right, you know. And my contract came around, and I wanted them to add domestic partner benefits to the contract, and they wouldn't do it. Now, in hindsight, like all these years later, it seems so ridiculous, right, that domestic partner benefits wouldn't be part of a contract. But they weren't. All the other anchors had it, and I said, that's not fair. And we couldn't come to an agreement, so I left.
Yeah, and you bring up such an important point because, like, on your bio now, you say that you and your husband, Ricardo, love living in Sacramento. But given that you have the trajectory and the perspective of 30 years in broadcast, many of which on air, what we choose to share about our personal lives mm-hmm. often transcends ourselves. How was that experience a couple decades ago compared to now?
Well, people just didn't share that information if they were gay like me. And you know, it took me a long time to realize, no, I want to be just as much myself as news anchor man over here or news anchor woman over here who talk about, you know, their spouses on their bios on, you know, on the station's website. And so from that job in Madison, I moved to the Central Coast to Santa Barbara County, where I was working for a CBS and Fox affiliate. And, you know, it was right around the time of Prop 8. And so my now husband and I were walking the dogs, and I had seen a poll. This was a week before the November election in, 2008? And I just said, this doesn't look good. You know, like, I think we might have to get, if we want to get married, I think we have to do it like this weekend. We're not going to be able to. And so we did. And that Monday I went into work and said, you need to change Randall lives with his partner in San Luis Obispo to Randall is with his husband, you know, in San Luis Obispo. And they did. And I don't know that that changed any votes or, but I was afraid going into work for a while because it was heated around Prop 8.
That's, you know, understandable.
And there were times when I thought, because as I do now, I would ride my bike to work and I would get to work and at like 3:30, 4 in the morning, because I was a morning anchor. And I remember thinking to myself, like, I could feel a bullet in my back at any moment as I was unlocking the door, you know, like trying to get into the building as fast as I could. It was scary for me.
How did that shape how you do journalism and how you even treat your colleagues at mm-hmm. work?
Well, I can tell you that, you know, being closeted for a long time and then living as my authentic self for decades now, I realized that there are different angles to different stories. And what you hear coming from someone might not be 100% accurate. And so I think it's made me a much better journalist because I certainly can put myself in the shoes of empathy, you know, at times when I'm interviewing people and trying to understand where they're coming from. But I also feel like I can smell BS a mile away. And so those attributes, I think, have absolutely helped me. You know, people have asked me, like, would you do anything differently? You know, if you could, if society had been way different in the 80s, would you have come out? And, well, hopefully I would have. But I do think to myself, I wouldn't be the same person today. And I like the person I am today. So I wouldn't be that person if things had been different.
And when you were talking about, you know, basically the risk to your personal safety, you were an on-air TV journalist. Mm-hmm. When it comes to Cap Radio, what stands out to you about your time here?
Well, I can honestly say that this is the best organization that I've worked for, with the least amount of drama and the commitment to honest, pure journalism far exceeds what I've seen in so many other shops. I've worked for some really great television and radio stations where that is the driving force. But at Cap Radio, they took it an extra step. And I know this sounds like I'm probably like pledge drive pitching, but I am not.
Become a sustaining evergreen member.
Right. I am not. And I just have to say that it runs deep here at Cap Radio. And every place you work, there's going to be some level of office politics and stuff. It doesn't matter where you are. No place is perfect. But Cap Radio has come as close to perfect for me as I've dealt with in my career.
And you're an important piece of that. I mean, on our personal Slack messages throughout Cap Radio, when announcing that you were going to be leaving, there were just so many heartwarming messages about how you shaped them as a journalist, how you touched them as a person, and how you just made them feel so welcome. And I am among those, because when I came over and took on Insight, you were the host of Insight. I shadowed you for a month, and you were one of the most welcoming people I've ever encountered in
a
newsroom.
You. That was so easy to shadow for you to shadow me, because you just like took to it like a, what's the expression, like horse to water?
Or, yeah.
Is that an expression?
I'll take it.
I'm probably mixing metaphors, but what?
But yeah. We quickly also became friends.
Yes, we
you
did.
You know, and the friendship that obviously still continues. What did the period of you hosting Insight, what did that mean to you? Because that really gives you this live, direct connection to listeners in a way of having longer form conversations.
It was amazing. It was something that I had always wanted to do in my career. And because I did start listening to KGO Radio, which was that sort of talk format, you know. So from the very beginning, that was something, even when I was in television, I would tell my coworkers, I'd really like to host a talk show at some point. And I started hosting Insight in July of 2020 when we had...
What was happening then?
Just a few different things, right? And so from the very beginning, it was a fire hose of news, and it was nonstop. It was incredibly draining. And so I do have to say that when you arrived, Vicky, it was such a relief, because I got it out of my system. I got to do that thing I always wanted to do. But it just took every second of every day to stay on top of things. And sure enough, it's a live show, as you know. So you're going to say something in just not quite the right way, and then you hear it. You know, we get a lot of really supportive emails. But typically, something that's going to drive someone to their computer to write something, it's because they're upset, right? So you do hear a little bit more of that. And that can kind of wear over time as well.
Of course, we're human.
And during that period, people were on edge. But in general, it was, you know, a very positive experience. And it, you know, helped me check that one thing off the bucket list.
Yeah. And I think about the timing of that, you taking over at July of 2020. What a perfect fit with a journalist with your experience to guide listeners in the community through such an unprecedented and really scary time with a lot of unknowns. So in addition to Insight, during the peak, the start of the pandemic, you have hosted so many statewide specials, breaking news coverage. We were just talking about Oroville Spillway as journalists. I mean, will you miss all of that?
I will miss it. I know my husband can see something change in my face when news starts breaking, and it's my instinct. I need to get to the station, and I'm wondering how I'm going to handle that when when I'm working in, you know, in the other sector, and all of a sudden I don't have that outlet. So instead, I'll just be the consumer, I guess. But you mentioned some of the different, you know, statewide specials. That was incredibly rewarding during the pandemic, to be able to host those where, you know, Governor Newsom might be explaining to the state where we are in stages of lockdown and that sort of thing. And then just the incredible reporters we have here at Cap Radio and our partner stations around the state, to be able to get their insights into those things and to be sort of the conduit to get that out to people. I remember leaving the station on those days and just thinking, that's what I went to school for. Like, it just it felt very rewarding.
What I'll always remember about you when you come into work and you leave work, you're on your bike.
That's right. Yeah.
What do you love about bikes? Because going carless,
you do too.
And oh, I do too. And also mass transit for you as mm-hmm. well. I mean, you do it way better than I do. I mean, this goes back years and years and years. Your passion for this.
Yeah. Ever since I was a little kid, I think we were in like fourth or fifth grade, and we took a school field trip to ride BART under the Transbay Tube from San Francisco to Oakland, and I felt like I was at Disneyland. I just thought, this is amazing. How did we do this? I can't believe we tunneled under the bay and I'm coming out on the other side. You know, like it was just widening. is that a word?
It widened your perspective.
It really did. And then my father commuted in. I grew up in a little town called Novato, and my father commuted into work, which should be like a half hour drive into San Francisco. But because of the terrible traffic patterns on 101 through Marin, it would take him upwards of sometimes 2-3 hours, you know, to do that commute. And he would come home in such a bad mood because of that commute. Then he started taking Golden Gate Transit into the city, and he'd sleep on the bus on the way home. And when he'd come home, he'd want to like hang out and play.
He's able to decompress.
Yes, a totally different situation. And so as a kid, I had this very positive experience with transit. And as an adult, I find it freeing, too. It frees me from my car and from having to look for parking. And, you know, we've got a climate to worry about. And so all those things combined have just raised my passion for transit and cycling. You know, every year I feel like I get more passionate about it.
Now you're continuing it even in your next professional life.
Right. I like to think that I'll still be a journalist to some degree on the other side. I'm going to become a PIO, which stands for Public Information Officer, for San Mateo County Transit District, which, if you're not familiar with the Bay Area, this is the peninsula area that connects San Francisco to San Jose. And they're responsible for Caltrain, which is the 7th busiest commuter rail service in the country. If you've ever been to San Francisco International Airport, you've been to San Mateo County. So it's, you know, right through there. And it'll be very exciting. I'm the person, basically, when things go right, I'm the person the media comes to. And when things go wrong, I'm the person the media comes to. And I'll be in this position a little bit more. I'll be the person answering the questions instead of the one asking it.
You're also leaving Sacramento. What are you going to miss about Sacramento?
Yeah, that is a really tough part. I'm going to really miss riding my bike down to the farmer's market on Saturday morning. I think that's the one thing every single week that I look forward to.
Well, finally, Randall, I want to let you say goodbye to listeners.
Aw, thank you. Yes, goodbye. Thank you so much for listening to me over the years, sending your notes in, whether they were positive or negative. I think it made me a better journalist along the way. And, you know, keep in touch. Follow me on Twitter, Facebook. You know, I'm locked out of my Instagram account, so I don't know what I did. I made a mistake, and now I can't get in.
Well, hopefully you get back in.
Right,
so. Thanks, Randall, so much.
Thank you, Vicky, for having me on.
We will miss you.
Oh, and likewise.
That is Cap Radio's Randall White saying a heartfelt goodbye. Randall and his husband are heading to the Bay Area in San Mateo County. You can stay connected with Randall on Twitter and also Mastodon. That is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, pretty much wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you want to join the conversation, the best way is to email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Nick Dobis and Victor Corral Martinez, with managing editor Aram Sarkissian. Our digital producer is Megan Minata. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones. Our engineer is Chris Feltz. Our show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great rest of the week. We're going to catch you back here on Monday.